This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Carlson Fish Oils. Fish oil provides the vital omega-3s, EPA and DHA, which support cardiovascular, brain and nerve, vision, immune system, joint, and skin health. Carlson ensures maximum freshness by managing their fish oils from sea to shelf. All Carlson fish oils are tested by an FDA-registered laboratory for freshness, potency, and purity, and they're available in soft gels and liquid form. For more information, go to carlsonlabs.com. Carlson fish oils are available at fine health food stores nationwide. Welcome back to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Today we're talking about autism and a great new book, How to Prevent Autism. The author, Dara Berger, is our guest, and she is a mom who's experienced this. Who better but a mom to write this book? She's undertaken a study, and she's done some marvelous interviews with some of the top people in this field. So we kept our audience in suspense because you were mentioning a breakthrough therapy that helped your son with autism, Dylan, recover his speech. But it sounds so way out. Tell us about that.
Sure. I mean, I was always the type of person that as long as something doesn't feel like it's going to be harmful and it can only have an upside, I was willing to try it. So I was told about this therapy. Basically, it's based on the hygiene hypothesis that we are too clean. We're sanitizing ourselves too much. And basically, you put in these ova, eggs from parasites, in a saline solution and you drink it. Now these are meant, the ones that we use were meant for a pig. So they were, which is closely related to humans, but.
Pig whipworm.
Yes. And what would happen is about an hour, hour and a half after you drink this solution, which doesn't have much taste, and they would hatch and then they would latch on, and after about a day or two, they would figure out that this is not a pig and they shouldn't be there. So they would leave the body, but they would leave these enzymes, and these enzymes would have something to do where they stimulate the immune system and they would turn off the inflammation, because it's believed that a lot of these children have severe neuroinflammation in their brain, and my son did. Mm-hmm. And what you have to happen is the effect would wear off at about 2 weeks, so you would have to re-inoculate and drink the solution again every 2 weeks. We did this therapy for like a year and a half, and then at one point, and he was fully speaking, and we noticed a lot of other good things about his immune system. So he had one of those little red spots that was quite big on his shoulder from the time he was born, and the immune system should have taken care of that over time. It should have like faded and gone away and got smaller. Amazingly enough, on the Helminth therapy, it was starting to go away within a couple weeks, something that he had had there for like 8 years. So we saw lots of other things.
So that was an objective sign that things are changing, because sometimes, you know, they talk about double-blind placebo-controlled experiments. Sometimes when there's a lot of expectation with a therapy, you know, you may read in that there's progress and it may be a coincidence there's progress. But when something like a rash abates, that's pretty objective.
Yeah, so we saw a lot of things, but the most remarkable, it was his speech. After 7 years, he slowly started to talk, and again, he was a severe case of apraxia, and we started to see him get better. After about a year and a half, we felt safe enough. He was starting to kind of plateau. We said, oh, let's take a break. We went off it for 6 months, did something else, IV vitamin C's twice a week, you know, different things, hyperbaric chamber. And we would put him back on it just because we wanted to see if, you know, the plateau was over and maybe if we reintroduce it, it'll do something. Sure enough, we would see lovely progress. Once again, we'd stay on it for about a year and then again go off, and we never saw regression. And when they did these clinical trials in these adult patients with Crohn's, they gave them the Helminth therapy for about 12 weeks, and a year later, they were still in remission. So that's the wonderful thing about this, is you don't usually see a regression and a, you know, symptoms return.
Indeed. And what's interesting about that type of therapy is it's called OvaMed therapy. It's actually not available in the U.S. except through special dispensation. I'm not sure how you got a hold of it, but there are ways. It's available in Europe. And some patients with multiple sclerosis benefit from that. So it really suggests that not only is there benefit in the gut, but there's a gut-brain connection, and this neuroinflammation that you're talking about can abate when the immune system stabilizes. So it's a very, very fascinating area, a little bit akin to fecal transfer, where you're changing the microbiome.
Absolutely. And my son's stroke injury is kind of like a smoldering fire. Mm-hmm. And so it's kind of like you're a hamster on a treadmill where you have to get far ahead of the inflammation because it keeps going from the gut back up to the brain, back to the gut. So that's why we had to really try to do some dramatic therapies to get a hold of it.
You have a fascinating chapter with a person that we've interviewed here on Intelligent Medicine, Stephanie Seneff. She's been a vociferous critic of glyphosate. And so can you give us her basic premise about the damage that glyphosate from GMO foods can inflict on the gut and therefore potentially on the brain?
Yeah, I mean, I can't tell you how much I learned from doing that chapter, and we kind of added that at the last second. I it was her idea. I just called her to ask a few questions, and I was like, oh my God, when she was telling me, I mean, firstly, glyphosate chelates all kinds of really important minerals. It disrupts all kinds of metabolic processes in the body. It replaces glycine in all these areas of the body. I mean, there's so much wrong with this pesticide, glyphosate. It's incredible. You have to try very hard not to consume it. I mean, anytime you go to a restaurant, I just assume I'm eating it, and the next day I do what she says is I take some apple cider vinegar because that's one of the only things that helps you get rid of it. But you have to buy everything organic, non-GMO. I mean, these pesticides are so dangerous, and then that one's pervasive. I mean, I know that they spray enormous amounts everywhere.
Indeed, and part of the reason for that is they've developed Roundup-ready crops, which means you can kill the weeds, and the fruits and vegetables and grains are okay. They don't die, but they're laden with glyphosate. And that's one of the unanticipated consequences of our GMO foods. It may be that the GMO foods are not themselves bad for us, although that's controversial. It may be that the glyphosate is the culprit.
Right. And a lot of people are reacting to wheat. And, you know, now it's common knowledge that the wheat is sprayed right before harvest. It's literally drenched in Roundup. And there's so many people who have gluten wheat issues. So, and she also talks about how they're finding glyphosate's making its way into vaccines, which is probably making the vaccines more dangerous than they might have been 20 years ago when there wasn't so much glyphosate in the environment.
Indeed. So, let's talk supplements because we want to share some news that our listeners can use. However, a caution is that if you have a kid with a developmental disorder, if you have a kid who has autism spectrum, you really should go to one of these top professionals. And you can read the book and you can kick the tires on some of the professionals listed here. Some of them are in active practice and they're available for consultation, and they're really excellent in terms of individualizing therapy, because I don't think there's one size all for kids with these types of problems. But among which are some of the top supplements that seem to make a difference for these kids?
Certainly vitamin D, very important. Fish oil, probiotics. I mean, if I could only pick three supplements that I could take, those would be the three as bare bones, basic. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, adding on a multivitamin. Many of these kids, you know, including my own children, have this MTHFR issue, so it's very important to take the right type of folate, mm-hmm. you know, to
and
make
not folic
your
acid.
Genetic great.
Important distinction, because folic acid may be less bioavailable, especially for kids with this type of genetic makeup.
Right, so you need to take the folinic acid or the 5-MTHF. Mm-hmm. Very important. And B12, when you have an MTHFR break, is always a wonderful thing to take with the folate. So, and I think getting tested, because there's so many other, there's zinc, copper ratio. There's so many other issues that could be going on that are very common, low magnesium. And it's really important, I think, to test the integrity of the gut. Do a stool test. There are so many different easy testing out there to do. And there's other genetic breaks that also make you more susceptible to illness. So, you know, working with an integrative physician who can really tailor the testing and the supplements for you, I think is paramount importance. And I think the other thing is diet. I mean, diet is up there with the absolute most important thing you can do. Get rid of the processed food first. Eat as much organic as possible. Stay away from genetically modified food. And almost all the foods that are not organic, that are in a box in a bag at the supermarket, most of them have GMOs, because it's the sugar beets, it's the high fructose corn syrup, it's all genetically modified.
Indeed. And is the diet weighted more towards vegan or vegetarian, or does it include ample amounts of animal protein and fat, which these days are stigmatized?
I think it depends on the child, for sure. You know, because some people do well on a high protein diet. I certainly think fats, really healthy fats, are incredibly important. Your coconut oil, your avocado, your olive oil. So the fats are incredibly important. But I really think it just comes down to eating food in its most natural state. Fruits, vegetables, meats, nuts, seeds, as long as you can tolerate these things. But that would be the most important, and paying attention to, you know, if you are buying food that has been processed or minimally processed, just make sure it's safe. Make sure it's organic, that it's not GMO.
Who should be on the lookout for the potential to have an autistic child? Is it possible to predict from the parent's history or the maternal history that maybe we need a little more aggressive program?
Well, certainly anyone who has autoimmune issues themselves, especially the mom, that poses a risk. Certainly ones like Crohn's, but we know having a thyroid autoimmune disorder makes you 6 times more likely to have a child with autism. Hmm. So certainly if you're thinking that you might have one, go get tested. Any primary care physician can test you, but it's an integrative physician who's really going to scrutinize the results. So I think if you really want to have a child and prevent autism or some other chronic illness, then I think it's best to work with a nutritionist or an integrative physician that can really help you make the best decisions and do the right testing.
And is prenatal care just about the mom, or does it also apply to the dad?
Well, I think before getting pregnant, certainly it applies to the dad, because we know that dads are having very low sperm count. You know, my husband had every possible problem with his sperm when we were having trouble conceiving. Mm-hmm. That the shape was wrong, the motility, everything was wrong. So, and once he started eating right, and for 3 years we were on a specific carbohydrate diet where you make every single meal from scratch. Yep. I mean, we got pregnant on the first try. It was very easy. And again, my daughter was perfectly healthy, you know, and I was a lot healthier at that point. That pregnancy, I was no longer eating gluten and dairy. I was on all kinds of supplements, the right folate, B12, and I had already dealt with my autoimmune issues. They were in the past.
Well, let's speak to the specific carbohydrate diet, or the SCD, because I know Elaine Gottschall, I used to interview her before she passed away a few years ago, and her story is quite interesting. She was a mom of a child who had both Crohn's disease and what was then called childhood schizophrenia. Now, there is no such thing as infantile or childhood schizophrenia. It's now diagnosed as autism spectrum disorder. But in the day, and this was about 50 years ago or more, I think her daughter is maybe a little younger than I am, she was diagnosed with a mental issue, a psychological issue. And she went from doctor to doctor, and she was told that it had to do with her mothering style, made her feel bad about, you know, the way she was raising her child. But when she put her child on the SCD to treat the gastrointestinal problem, because she was told that her child might need surgery, her child's mental symptoms cleared up. And I've interviewed her daughter on the occasion of Elaine's passing away, and she's a fully functioning professional with a PhD Without a trace of any kind of psychiatric ailment. So tell us a little bit about the SCD and why might it have an impact on, I know a lot of parents with kids on the spectrum put their kids on the SCD.
Absolutely. So it's basically a diet where everything is sort of very easy to digest. Everything's a monosaccharide. You don't have any disaccharides, which would be like milk, or polysaccharides, which would be, say, potato, rice, one of these complex carbohydrates. And you have no sweeteners, so you're not, let's say, feeding the bad bacteria like yeast in your gut. So everything is just so digestible, and it takes the stress off of your gut. And so your gut is able to slowly heal all the time and become less inflamed. And I have to tell you, I went on the diet because I knew I had a little bit of yeast. I had some of the same symptoms as Dylan. And I have to tell you, 6 weeks on the diet, my allergies were literally down 70%. Mm. And I stayed on it for 3 years, and that's how I got rid of my multiple chemical sensitivities. Now, for Dylan was a lot more acutely sick than I was. He had a lot more things going on than just allergies. So it was very healing. It wasn't miraculous for him, but I believe it definitely took a stress load off, and he made significant improvement on that diet.
So what's some basic advice for parents contemplating pregnancy? What can they do? Should they be tested for toxicity? Should they undertake nutritional screening? Should they adopt certain types of dietary practices? Or what about in terms of household chemicals, environmental exposures? What are some of the elements that should go into a healthy pre-pregnancy planning?
Sure. Well, absolutely. Changing your diet, and people shouldn't try to do too much too soon. Just get the processed food out if you can. Try to eat more whole foods, foods in their natural state. Try to go organic. Stay away from genetically modified foods. Definitely replace your cleaning products with safer ones, your personal care products. I mean, you really should understand every ingredient on either your sunscreen or your makeup. Because it's very easy to find these products these days. I mean, we have Whole Foods, we have all kinds of wonderful online stores that have healthy products, healthy deodorants without aluminum in them, you know. So essential oils, I talk a lot in my book. I have a whole chapter called My Natural Medicine Cabinet, and I talk about treating little illnesses such as like pink eye, you know, all kinds of illnesses and how to treat it naturally. A lot of times you can make these products at home. I mean, like, you know, for foot fungus, you just use apple cider vinegar. I mean, so it's very easy to live a more natural lifestyle. Now, if you're experiencing some autoimmune issues, or you have a lot of autoimmune in your family, and certainly a child who's already experiencing developmental delays or asthma, get yourself to an integrative physician or a nutritionist if possible. Do some of the testing, you know, because you might have to clean out a little bit more. You might have to take some supplements, and you probably should do specific testing. But if you're just someone who feels perfectly fine, you know, then a lot of the things that the doctors talk about in the book, you know, should safeguard you from having a child with autism. I mean, nothing's 100%. There's so many things that are out in the world that are beyond our control, but it's the idea of building up your immune system to handle the things you can't control, and controlling the ones in your environment, and certainly what you eat is one of them.
And what about the potential for toxicity from fish, for example? Is that something to be limited prior to pregnancy and during pregnancy?
Absolutely. I mean, that there are certain fishes that have less, you know, heavy metals than others. There are places where you can buy it where they actually test it, like Vital Choice Seafood. I mean, so, you know, and being smart, like when I give my son fish, I feed him chlorella when I give him fish, because I want the metals that possibly are in the fish to leave his body with digestion. So, I mean, certainly speaking to a nutritionist, I think, is really helpful to get some clear guidance.
So you're working on a movie. Tell us about your upcoming documentary.
Absolutely. So I would like to make a documentary film based on a lot of the principles in the book, and many of the contributors, and there will probably be even more, because it'll hopefully be like a feature-length documentary. We're already putting together trailer. It should be ready probably sometime in September, and I'll start circulating it. And then we just have to secure some funding, which sometimes can take a little while. And we plan to do this film and again, help as many people and spread the information far and wide that autism is not only preventable, but it's treatable.
And it's really essential because what are the statistics now? We're seeing a real uptick in the diagnosis of autism. And I can't see why doctors are sometimes saying, well, you know, it's not really an uptick. We're just becoming more aware and we have better diagnostic capabilities. In the past, we just kind of overlooked it. That's hard to believe.
It is. And that's why I start every single chapter with these interviews with these wonderful practitioners with the very same question, which is this better diagnosis or are there more children with autism? And you get all different answers, but it all comes down to the same thing, that there are more children. We have an epidemic of autism. We have an epidemic of asthma, pediatric cancer. I mean, the children have never been sicker, and they're the ones who are suffering. So, you know, that's why we really need to talk about this and demystify this myth that, you know, autism numbers are not going up, because they are. They clearly are. And it's very scary that I remember back to a childhood where nobody had food allergies, nobody had autism, but my children growing up today, they're not going to know a life without it.
And incidentally, they, you know, speaking of the importance of the microbiome, they just came up with a cure for life-threatening peanut allergies. And you know what that cure is? The cure is to introduce peanuts in a very, very minute doses, like homeopathic doses, very slowly, ramp up. Don't try this at home, folks. This has to be done under medical supervision because this could create a life-threatening anaphylactic reaction. But the key is simultaneously to administer probiotics, because the probiotics seem to seal the deal on reacclimation to foods that you're allergic to. So the importance of the gut keeps getting underscored by experiments like that.
Absolutely. And I do know people who are trying that treatment, and they said they have noticed positive results so far.
Indeed. Again,
but like you said, it's strict medical guidance that it has to be under.
Exactly. So give us some resources. First of all, the book, How to Prevent Autism, available from the usual sources. Dara Berger is the author, our guest. And do you have a website? Or can people find out more and perhaps get heads up on the upcoming film?
Absolutely. I have a website, howtopreventautism.org. You can also look for me on Facebook and Twitter. I'm always, you know, sending out information. I have a blog that's linked to the website because I try to give homemade recipes to some of these ailments that I talk about in my book, or just, you know, helpful health tips too. So people can find me and follow me on Twitter and Facebook as well.
And there's lots of resources in the book. And of course, you know, in the book, you actually have a very touching letter to Dylan. And in it, you know, basically what you're saying is that, Dylan, you have been really a blessing, because out of your adversity, we have learned so much, and you're sharing so much with listeners so that they can also avert these types of problems, or if such problems arise, they have more resources in order to make progress. So I want to thank you for your advocacy in your tireless pursuit of the truth, and as only a mom can do.
Thank you. It's so wonderful to be here, to be given the opportunity to speak about this.
It's my pleasure. Thanks for joining us. Dara Berger, How to Prevent Autism. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.